from now, you know, interviewing for our children's job. And so just pray through, help us pray through all of those things. We appreciate it. Would you stand together with me as we read James chapter 4? I was just going to read verse 8, but verse 7 is so good. We'll start there. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Let's pray. Well, Father, we do come just submitting ourselves to you and to your authority and to your word, to your leadership, to your guidance in our life today. We submit ourselves to your will. So, Father, we ask that you would reveal your will to each and every one of us. We thank you that as we do so, that when we do come under attack, that we can stand firm and resist, and that the devil will flee from us, run away from us. One translation says, as in terror. And Lord, we come today drawing near to you with the full expectation that you'll draw near to us. And so we thank you for meeting us in this place, giving us boldness and confidence, giving us the information that we need to go out and be conquerors in this world, more than conquerors through Christ, and be doers of the word and not hearers only, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Go and be seated. Look at Exodus 33. We're examining different accounts of the life of Moses. And I'm really having a good time. I hope you're having a good time as you're following along with us here. Exodus 33, in verse 7, we read this. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the tabernacle, or the tent of meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tent, that all the people arose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle, or the tent. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tent, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tent, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing outside at the tent door, and all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tent. And so I just want to share with you a few things of how that all of us can have this kind of close relationship with God that we obviously see that Moses enjoyed. Moses was able to go into the presence of God and meet, as it were, face to face with God, and hear and receive instructions from the voice of God. And so I just see some obvious principles here that I want to point out to you. In verse 7, Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp. There's a way that to meet with God in our lives where we need to find places, and we need to find time, and we need to find some space just to separate ourselves from the masses. If you're going to hear from God, you're probably not going to hear the voice of God in the midst of chaos, in the midst of the crowd, with a lot of other voices, with a lot of other input. I know some people really do enjoy, you know, their time with the Lord, and they put on some praise and worship music, and that's good. But let me suggest to you, somebody else, a songwriter and a singer at that moment, then, are suggesting to you over and over and over again what you need to hear from God. I'm telling you, there's time in your life where you need to shut everything off, including your praise and worship album, including, you know, TV preachers or radio preachers, or, you know, those of you that are real high tech, high class, you know, your iPod, not iPod. Oh my gosh, that made me sound so old. Podcast. You can see how much podcasting I do. All right. My favorite time with the Lord is with my Bible and an empty blank sheet of paper. You know, I really do believe that God could speak to you individually without the assistance of a preacher, without the assistance of a worship leader, that you really could get into the presence of God if you would get outside of the camp, pitch your tent away from everybody else, and put yourself in a place where God can actually then speak to you. And seek God. Seek God with all of your heart. You see the determined effort that Moses took. I am going to go out and I am going to hear from God because I have this great assignment and people are depending on me. But people were depending on Moses. But let me tell you something. People are depending on you. There's people in your life that are depending on you that you need to have the word of the Lord for your family or for your kids or for your spouse or for your job. For your boss or for your employees. Are you listening to me? For your friends. There's people in your life that need you to get a hold of God because they don't know how. But you have. I mean, how many of you really are Christ followers today? Could I see your hand? I mean, you know that you know that you know that you're saved. You have this relationship with the Lord. Then quit saying, I don't understand God. I don't understand the things of God. I read the Bible and I don't understand it. Because if that's true, probably you really do need to get saved. Because if you're born again, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. You have the mind of Christ. And stop saying that I don't understand this. You're disagreeing. You're arguing with what God said about you to be true. So start saying, I do understand this. I do have the mind of Christ. I am the sheep of his pasture, and his sheep know his voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. And I'm getting some good amens this morning, so you guys need to join in with my brother up here towards the front. Come on, somebody. All right, some of you are catching it. But you need to seek God with all of your heart. But look at verse 8. Here's what always happens. So it was whenever Moses went into the tent that all the people stood up and watched him. You've got to press past the intimidation of other people to get into the presence of God. Because when you start saying things like, the Lord showed me this, or the Lord told me that, how many of you have some relatives that think that's kind of funny? You have some people at work that think you're just a little bit crackers because you talk about hearing the voice of God. I mean, there's people that are standing by their tent going, oh, there he goes again. You're going to have to press past some of that intimidation, aren't you? Because it is intimidating when people act like, you hear from God? We don't want people to think we're weird. We don't want people to think we're odd. We don't want people to think we're unusual. We don't think, you know, that we're crazy. I don't. But on the other hand, I want to hear from God. And Jesus said I could know his voice. And Paul wrote and said that those that are sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to lead and guide you into all the truth. And he's going to show you things to come. He's going to speak to you. Whatever he hears the Father saying, he's going to speak to you. So I would, you know, risk people thinking I'm unusual, if God will actually speak to me, lead and guide me, and direct my steps like he said that he would. But I'm telling you what, you're going to have to put yourself in a position. You're going to have to get outside of the camp. You're going to have to seek God with all of your heart. Come on, somebody, and not worry about whatever everybody else thinks about that. Amen. All right, now look at verse 9. It says that he came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle or the tent. I kind of wish they didn't use the word tabernacle because it makes it sound like it's this really special place. It was just another tent and they threw it outside of the camp. It wasn't any different in any way, shape, fashion, or form than everybody else's tent, except that God was there. And I'm just saying, I think sometimes Bible translators use language that becomes intimidating to us because we think, well, I don't have a tabernacle. I just got this old tent. Follow me? And you think you've got to be somebody special. You have to have this special call or this special assignment, or you have to have the special sauce for God to do anything great with you or through you or for you to hear from God. But I'm just telling you, the Bible tells us that Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp. The only thing that made it special is that he just decided he was going to go out and hear from God, no matter if everybody else just stood at their tent door and watched him. But he heard from God in that tent. Verse 9 tells us that it came to pass when Moses entered that tent that the pillar of cloud descended. The presence of God showed up and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Can you just say that? The Lord talked with Moses? If the Lord talked to Moses, I'm telling you, the Lord could talk to you. So when you read and study your Bible, for those of you that keep saying, I don't understand it, I don't understand it, I don't understand it, well, James chapter 1 says that those of us that lack wisdom can ask God, and he will give us wisdom if we ask without doubting. Because if we doubt, then we're tossed to and fro. So if we say, Lord, reveal yourself to me, but I don't think I'm really going to understand this. So when you go to your Bible reading, and I just finished this morning, you know, there's 7 new days of dailychapel.com loaded up for you this week, and there's Psalms in there, there's gospel readings in there, and most every day there's a reading from one of the epistles or maybe an Old Testament reading. There's prayers in there that you can pray and so forth. But when you're reading Scripture, whether you're following Daily Chapel or something else, when you're opening up your Bible or looking through your smartphone Bible, can I just take a pause there on that one point? The trouble with your electronic Bible. Is retracing your steps. There's something about still your paper Bible. That when something really, and I know you can highlight it. I understand that. I'm not really down on the electronic Bible because I use it a lot for study purposes. I use it every day for study purposes. But there's something about having God's Word in your hand and knowing where that is on the page and being able to go back to that thing. And I mean, there's just something about that. And maybe I'm just old. I don't know. It's possible. But having that thing open in front of you and having your notes in the margin there and God being able to speak to you again. And I'm not saying you can't do that through this. But if you're not really hearing from God the way you used to, maybe you've gotten a little too slick. And maybe just a little old school Bible thumping would be a little bit good for you. But when you read and study your Bible, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you and reveal the Father's will to you. So in other words, when you're opening up the pages of Scripture, you say, Lord, I know that you have something for me here today. Would you show yourself? Would you reveal your will? Would you teach me what I need to learn? Ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom. Ask the Holy Spirit for leadership. And then, if we're going to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit, then we need to pay attention to the inward voice or nudgings of the Holy Spirit. Now, we have a few friends in St. Joseph now that are helping us get connected to other people and helping us find the building and get the building ready and that sort of thing. And so... our new friend over there said he was driving up and down the belt one day, and just every day he'd go past this certain property, and he just on the inside of him, he'd just hear missed opportunity. Missed opportunity. And he'd drive on by. And he said it was every day as he drove past this certain location, he just kept hearing missed opportunity, missed opportunity, missed opportunity. And finally, he just stopped on that property one day and said, "Lord, what are you trying to say to me?" He said, "Well, you're missing an opportunity here by not buying this place." And so long story short, he went in, found out who owned this certain business and so forth. And he negotiated, bought that business and owned it ever since. And has been blessed by it. How do you think that guy's special? That God loves him more than he loves you? That God just wants to speak to this guy and help him with his business and help him with his family? And no, it's just that he's probably just learned how to pitch his tent outside the camp. He's learned how to press into the presence of God because he highly values it. And when he opens up the Word of God, he says, "Lord, would you lead me? Would you guide me? Would you direct me by your Spirit and through your Word?" And then when he gets a prompting from the Holy Spirit, he pays attention to it. And you could do the exact same thing in your life. The Lord will speak to you about your family. He'll speak to you about your business. We all have business. Come on, we all have bills to pay. We all have things to do. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God will direct you just like He does our friend Gary. Ask the Holy Spirit. Pay attention. Then be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." But I will tell you, Jesus will not break the door down of your life. Jesus comes into your life daily by invitation. Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." We use that scripture all the time to lead people to the Lord, lead people into a relationship with God. But how many of you know Revelation 3:20 was written to the church? It was written to church people. It was written to people who were already born again. People who are already born again can leave Jesus outside of their life every day and pick him back up at the church door on Sunday morning. Are you listening to me? But Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in to him and sup with him and he with me." That sounds like a really intimate relationship. That sounds like a really friendship type relationship. Jesus said, leave that up there, please. Jesus said that. You know, I'm no longer going to call you servants, but I'm going to call you friends. Share with one another. Friends converse with one another. You know, we went to the baseball game. It was Ron's Father's Day present and my Father's Day present. And we all went to the St. Louis baseball game together. But on the way home, you know, we sat in a restaurant and shared a meal together and started playing "What's Your Favorite?" You know, "What's your favorite music? What's your favorite band?" That sort of thing. And we had this interaction around the table. We learned things about each other. Come on, are you listening to me? I mean, Jesus wants to have that kind of relationship with you because the Bible said, and it was our scripture this morning, right? James 4:8, "Draw near to God and He will..." Man, I just think if we really believed that, we would access that a whole lot more. Jesus is knocking. Why don't we open the door and let him sit down at the table and play favorite questions with us? "Hey, Jesus, what's your favorite this?" Or "What's your favorite that?" And have him share, "What is it that you want me to do with my life? How am I going to handle this situation or that situation?" Look at Mark chapter 6. Don't let me go too long because we're going to end the service today with a really powerful session of praise and worship and just giving us all the opportunity to just practice what we're preaching today and come into the tent of the presence of God and just worship there for a few moments. Doesn't that sound like a good idea? Mark 6, verse 45, look at this account of the life of Jesus. "Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And he... when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray." See, Jesus pitched his tent outside of the camp also. Verse 47, "And when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea, and notice this, would have passed them by. New Living Translation says, he intended to go past them. The ESV says something very similar to that. In other words, it was his intention to walk right on by the boat and not get in the boat, not stop, not say hello. Just Jesus intended to walk right on past the boat. Do you see that? That was his intention. Do you think Jesus noticed them straining? Do you think Jesus noticed that the wind was against them? Did you think Jesus noticed they were having a difficult time? But Jesus intended to go right on past them. There's an important point here. But then something happened. Verse 49, and when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, but they cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. Now, here's the point. Jesus would have walked right on past them. Jesus will not force himself upon you. He will not impose himself upon you. He won't interrupt anything that's going on in your life ever. Jesus does not come into our boat because we're in trouble. There's all kinds of people whose boat sinks, and Jesus is that close. My dad used to say, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not force himself upon you. But Jesus comes into our boat by invitation. Draw near to God, and what? He'll draw near to you. Your trouble is not what moves Jesus. Your faith is what moves Jesus. It's believing that he can and believing that he will, and that Jesus will come into my life by invitation. And so I'm just saying that we need to be consistently inviting Jesus into our life. In Exodus 3, we have the account of Moses seeing the burning bush. But I'm telling you, Moses could have said, well, that's odd, and kept on moving. But the Bible tells us in Exodus 3 that Moses turned aside to see this thing, and he drew near to that burning bush, and then he heard the voice of God. I'm telling you, there's lots of opportunities for us to hear from God, and we are so dull of hearing, and we're so callous, and we're so busy with every other thing that God is speaking, but we're not listening. And God is doing things and we're not paying attention. And then we go around lying about God and saying God just doesn't move like he used to. But I don't believe it's on the Godward side of things where it's being missed. Samuel was a young man and his mother had committed him to the service of the Lord and brought him, you know, to the temple. And he served Eli the priest. And Samuel kept getting awakened by this voice. And he kept asking Eli, what do you want? And he said, I'm asleep. I didn't ask anything. He said, sure you didn't just talk in your sleep or something. And finally, Eli knew what was going on. He said, oh, God's trying to speak to you. So the next time you hear the voice, you say, speak, for your servant is listening. Samuel was awakened by the voice of God, yet he had to respond. Speak, for your servant is listening. There's an experience with God that few people are finding today. Most people are letting Jesus just walk right on past them. Most people fill themselves up with junk food. So they don't really have an appetite for real and better food. Okay, I'm going to take a 2-minute break here and talk health. You don't want to hear it, just hum to yourself out loud. Okay, yesterday we all went to the ball game, but we rarely eat fast food. Almost never. Like weeks and months go by in our life where we do not stop at a fast food restaurant. But because of, driving almost 4 hours to get to the ball game and driving almost 4 hours to get home, it was just more convenient to eat fast food, And then we had a rain delay and all that, which caused us to get home even later. But when you have been eating cleaner, healthier, better food, there's a reason they call it junk food. Because it tastes like junk. And it affects your body like junk. Like, I don't want to gross anybody out, but my body was not functioning this morning the way that it normally would. That's all I'm going to say about that. Forrest Gump, that was, there you go. All right, that's all I'm going to say about that. But if that's what your normal diet is, your body will adjust to it. And that's then what you'll have a craving for, and that's what you'll desire, and that's what you'll want, and that's what you'll fill up on. But that is not a healthy diet. That's not a healthy diet, and it causes all kinds of health issues in your life. It just does. But if you fill up on that, you're really not going to have an appetite for real and better. Proverbs 27:7 says, a satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb. In other words, if you fill yourself up on the wrong thing, you won't even enjoy the sweet, wonderful thing that God really has intended for you. Thank you for that almost amen. Most Christ followers are not indifferent to God's presence, because they despise God. Most Christ followers are indifferent. Most Christ followers are really very content to open up their tent door and watch somebody else get into the presence of God and go, isn't that cool? Wouldn't that be nice? Kind of weird, but they're not indifferent to the things of God because they hate God or they don't love God. But I will tell you, most Christ followers are indifferent to the presence of God because their hunger has been quenched by what I would call less than filler. They've just filled up their spiritual appetite with something else. And it's quite less than. It's junk food. It's not the spiritually nourishing thing that they really need. And it doesn't cause them to hunger for more of the presence of God. They're just satisfied to keep filling themselves up with something less than the presence of God. Taste buds are sensitized to what they are exposed. Last year, Michelle and I were in Yangon, Myanmar, helping the powers do a leadership pastors conference in that city. We had a few hours break with nothing to do, so we went over to this other hotel just because you could get a massage for like $10 for an hour. How many of you know that's just kind of cheap? So we just did. But we had to wait. And while we were waiting, long story short, we met a Japanese businessman that we struck up a conversation with and had some conversation. We found out that he owned the hotel. He owned lots of property in Myanmar and lots of property in Japan and so forth. And so he took us up to the top of this hotel to the roof. You could see the whole city and all this. And then he began to order food and serve food to us there. But I'm sure it was delicious food. But my taste buds were not sensitized to what he was. I mean, that seaweed and raw fish stuff that he was serving didn't smell good to me. It tasted really rubbery in my mouth. And you know, we chewed it up and chewed and swallowed it. And he was enjoying it, but I wasn't enjoying it so much. But you know what? This guy was in his 70s and he was real trim and he was real fit and he was still real sharp mentally. Come on, somebody. And he was real active and he looked like a man 20 years younger than what he was. So obviously what he was eating was really healthy. But I didn't have a taste for it. And it didn't make the food bad. It just meant that I'd been spilling up on other things. And I had sensitized my taste buds to quite a different thing that my palate enjoyed. You see, most Americans have a great taste for hamburgers, French fries, pop, beer, and pizza. Thanks. Thanks for that. Your taste buds can be trained to enjoy vegetables, fruit, and water. If you can't say amen, say oh me, or I guess. Did your mom ever say to you, don't eat that, that's going to spoil your dinner? What was she suggesting? Don't fill up on potato chips. Don't fill up on that junk food. I've got this delicious meal fixed for you, and you're not even going to be hungry because you filled up on the wrong thing. That's what's wrong with spirituality in America. It's not God. It's that we filled ourselves up on the wrong thing and we spoiled the dinner. You don't want to fill up on crackers when there's carne asada cooking on the grill somewhere in Milan right now. I can almost taste that. It makes me want to just drive up to Maria's house and say, hey, we're here for dinner. And she would just set more plates, and there'll be plenty of food. But you know what? I'm not eating saltines on the way up the mile when there's something delicious waiting for me there. In the same way, you don't want to fill up on sports talk and Hollywood gossip when God's inviting you to meet in the tent of His presence. The greatest thing that steals our hunger for God is our own fault. It's our busy lifestyle that's self-imposed, self-induced. We got no time to go pitch a tent outside the camp and hear from God. Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them, and they're health to all your flesh. We've got to guard our heart and protect our heart better. Let's close with this. Exodus 33, would the band come back up, please? I want you to notice something that you probably, unless you've heard it before, it probably slipped past you in the text. Look at verse 11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And then he would return to the camp. But what did Joshua do? But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart the tabernacle. Why not? God was still there, and God was still there speaking, and the presence of God was still there. There's a reason Joshua becomes Joshua. Because he was willing to do what other people were not willing to do. And when Joshua was one of the 12 that was sent in to spy out the land to see what the land was like, the land that God was giving to the people. And 10 of those spies came back and said, "We can't do this. There's giants there. It's a walled city. We're too weak. We don't have any experience. We don't know what we're doing. We're going to get squashed like grasshoppers underneath their feet." But Joshua said, "Let's go and take what the Lord has clearly said He's giving to us." Why is Joshua Joshua and those other 10 guys are a bunch of doubters and complainers and bellyachers and fearful, really despisers of God? I think you see the key right here. If God was speaking, Joshua was going to put himself in position to hear the voice of God. And if everybody else went and did whatever they do, whatever you see the whole world doing, have you not figured out by now they're probably not going to lead you to the place you really want to be? Whatever you see the whole rest of the world doing, it's a very good clue that you ought to take a step outside of that and go, "What are you saying, God? Because the crowd is all doing this. I want to be Joshua. I don't want to be unnamed spy number 6. Who died in the wilderness. Everybody got what they said. They said, "We're going to die." They did. Joshua said, "We're going to conquer." And he did. Joshua stayed in the presence of God as long as God would speak to him. My question to you today, have you been settling for less than? Less than God, less than the presence of God, less than the voice of God? Are you hungry for God's presence? If you're really not hungry for God's presence, probably you filled up on the wrong thing. But this morning, something has really, really gotten a hold of your heart and you want to turn aside. You want to respond to God's voice. You want to say, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And let's then be obedient to the Holy Spirit's leading. Let's draw near to God, because He said if we did so, He would draw near to us. Would you bow your head, close your eyes for just a moment? Maybe this morning you really are sensing that pulling, that tugging, that leading by God Himself for you to connect with the living God, the Creator God, the one who made heaven and earth with His voice, is speaking to your heart right now. And drawing you to Himself. And if you have no relationship with God, or you used to have a relationship with God, but really you'd have to be honest and say, "I don't have any relationship with God now," then I want you to hear what the Spirit's saying to you. "Draw near to Me and I'll draw near to you. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever confesses Jesus before men, the Father and the angels will confess Him before the Father in heaven. But if you deny Him, He'll deny you." You're in this place today by divine appointment from God for you to meet God face to face and turn your life, turn aside, repent, give your life to Jesus today. And if you need to do that right now, you need to give your life to Jesus and have Him come and take ownership and rule and reign in your life today, or you need to come back into a right relationship with God today, who are you? Raise up your hand right now so I can pray for you right now. Okay, I see your hand over there on the front row. You can put it down. Who else wants to join this lady and say, I need to have a relationship with God, and I just don't have it, but I want it. I want to have that relationship with God that's obviously available to every person. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. One more time, raise your hand right now if you want me to include you in that prayer. Yeah, I see a young lady up in the balcony. Anybody else? Right now, right now, right now, right now. All right, if you raised up your hand, or you should have, would you come down here and let us pray with you right now? And the rest of us are going to just get into the presence of God and worship for a few minutes before we go home. Let's stand to our feet.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Seem like never before, oh my soul, worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before, let me be seated when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Be like never before, oh my soul, worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and slow to wait. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to cry. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Be my neighbor, oh my soul, worship Your holy name.
Please muster up the courage and step out here and let us pray for you. Just step forward. I want to pray with you this morning or have somebody pray with you. If you have some need that you need a strong believer to agree with you in prayer right now, we'd like to pray with you. So if you would come forward and say, I have a physical need, I have a financial need, whatever your need might be, would you let one of us pray with you and be in agreement? I believe we're in the presence of God where two or three are gathered together, and Jesus shows up and hears and answers those requests. So while we continue to worship, allow us to minister back to you right now, get in agreement with you. Would you come right now, Jesus?
And on that day when my strength is failing, He draws me. And my time has come. Still my soul will see Your grace unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Oh, more. She's my heavenly friend. And I so worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. She's my heavenly friend. God, I worship your holy name. Sing like never before, let my soul worship your holy name. There's a place where mercy reigns, never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide. Mother never found, comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love sin was white. I loved you. I loved you, Jesus. There's a place sin and shame.
Dismiss the service, but there's a lot of us that hang around for a long time before we go home. Most of the guys that hang around for a long time could lead you to the Lord if you to ask them. I'd be here or somebody else could do that. Don't leave without having that eternal decision made. I mean, every journey starts with the first step, and this would be the first step for you today. So go ahead and make that step in Jesus' name. I'm going to dismiss us in prayer right now. Let's just be in agreement for our country as we celebrate our independence again as a nation. And let's ask God's favor, blessing, and actually ask for His mercy and forgiveness, guidance again today. Father, we thank You for this wonderful land that we live in. Lord, I don't know why. We feel a little bit like Moses, that You put us in this rescue boat when we were a baby, put us in a place that we didn't deserve any more than anybody else. But Lord, we just live in the most prosperous nation that's ever existed on planet Earth, with opportunities that abound, educational opportunities, job opportunities, wealth-creating opportunities, where we live in relative peace compared to so much of the rest of the world. But Father, like Moses, then we believe that You have a greater purpose for our life, to be a blessing to other people, blessing to other nations, a blessing to others that haven't been so blessed, even around us, in our own community and nation. Father, we ask that just on behalf of our nation, that You would forgive us of our sins. And that Your mercy, compassion would be upon us. We pray that the place where we live would be peaceful, prosperous. We pray for our community, Father God, that it would be blessed and that it would increase and that it would be a place where people can raise their families in a healthy environment. We pray that all over our nation today, right now. Lead us, guide us, especially those that rule over us, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that we seek that which would unite instead of divide. That we would walk in the way of Jesus, that our first allegiance would be to the kingdom of God, to righteousness. That our first allegiance would be to King Jesus, that He would rule and reign in our lives and in our church, in our community, and in our nation. We pray that we would let our light shine in darkness, that people would run to the light rather than hide in darkness. Bless us and bless our nation, we ask. Lord, we believe truly You have blessed our nation because we've continually asked You to do so. Because You said if we would draw near to You, You would draw near to us. So we say, God bless America again today. In Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. Go out in peace. Go out worshiping. If you need prayer still, we're here for you. God bless you.
At the cross, I surrender. I'm in all of You. Will Your love resurrect? If my sin was white, I will ask You. I will ask You. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I love you. Where Your love is, and my sin was white. I love you.